Take these three ingredients, artist Sandra Boynton, Yo-Yo Ma, and snoozing jungle animals. Stir, mix, and yes, you have utter magic. These celebrated artists come together for the new book, Jungle Night, a soothing bedtime board book. And I think Sandra will admit, mostly soothing, I think. The book guides us through the jungle to hear the distinctive gentle snore of each animal. Each book has a downloadable Jungle Night recording, which offers a narration of the book with each and every animal snore interpreted by the very playful cello of the master Yo-Yo Ma. I just checked this. I don't even know if you know this, Sandra, but I hope I'm the person to deliver this news to you. But Jungle Night is currently number one in children's elephant books on Amazon.
I am so proud. I'm just proud. And you know, take that, you other children's elephant books on Amazon.
Let's just put it this way. Mo Willems has to be a little upset.
Absolutely. And Babar, you know, yeah, absolutely.
There is a category. It's children's elephant books. And what my immediate response, well, okay, my first response was, really, that's a category? My second response was, wow, there are many other animals than just elephants in this book.
That's true. So it's a little peculiar. It's not nearly as great as the honor I got, though. I got, in 1999, a certificate at the end of the year from Amazon for the best-selling book in its category, and that was Grunt, an album of plain chant in Pig Latin. And I thought, wow, I am the top album of plain chant in Pig Latin. I am just so humbled and proud of that.
Well, I congratulate you on all your wonderful successes.
Thank you.
Now, how did this collaboration come to be with Yo-Yo Ma? Because it's just absolutely amazing and beautiful and incredible.
Well, it came in such a magical way. You know, Ann Patchett owns, you've probably heard of her, celebrated novelist, also owns a bookstore in Nashville, co-owns a bookstore, and she's, we became sort of pen pal friends. I met her very briefly when I was doing my country music album in Nashville, which Frog Trouble, which is 2013, I think, and I'd met her briefly. And then just over time, we became kind of pen pals. And two summers ago, summer 2019, if anyone remembers that far back, she came to visit me in New England because she was writing an article about my redrawing a lot of my long ago but still in print books that didn't look quite right because of the change from film printing to digital printing, and that they had suffered in that that conversion. So she was curious about that, and she came to visit, and I thought I would surprise her because I knew she was friends with Yo-Yo Ma, and I live near Tanglewood, and he was performing when she was coming. He was doing the Bach cello suites. Side note, the most astonishing thing I've ever seen on stage in my entire life. So I surprised her with that, and she then outdid me and said, good news, we're going to the sound check before the concert, which we did. We went together, and that's where she introduced me to him. I also met Joanne Rogers, Fred Rogers' widow, and just the most, between Joanne and Yo-Yo, just the most joyful, friendly, life-affirming people you can imagine.
Yes.
So that's how it started. And then by another coincidence, we were invited then to a recording session of Goat Rodeo with Yo-Yo Ma and Stuart Duncan and Chris Thiele and Edgar Meyer the next day at James Taylor's recording studio. And you just go, this is a little surreal at this point. So that's the very long story of how this came about.
So the idea then for the book, I mean, Sandra, if you had told me even without Yo-Yo Ma, that Sandra Boynton has written a board book about jungle animals snoring, you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds right. Right? I mean, that's that's in your milieu, right?
That's right. Ho-hum. Okay, fine. Another, you know. Yes.
That seems like something you would be interested in.
Yes. It actually started, it was single spread in my book Snoozers, which is still out, was a single spread in that. And I'd always thought it really should be a book. And when this pandemic started a year ago, you know, Anne had kept saying, "You and Yo-Yo have to collaborate." And she would get us both on an email saying, "When are you guys going to collaborate?" And you know, he was, I mean, certainly wasn't going to be the one to push that. And he was traveling all the time with his Bach project. But when the pandemic shut everything down, I actually got a phone call from him saying, "Okay, the time is now. We have to do this. We need to do this now." And we talked a long time, and we actually have done 3 small collaborations in the last year. And it's been an inexpressibly wonderful, surreal experience to work with him.
So there is the book itself, which is beautiful. And I just love that there's such artistic beauty in a board book. I mean, that is so lovely and such a special thing. So you have these beautiful illustrations. There is just the comedic of a crocodile snoring and of snorkel ooh, which is great. I mean, that you thought of that is just fantastic. So then how is that then expressed by Yo-Yo Ma and his amazing cello?
That was a pretty interesting collaboration in itself, just trying to figure, you know, because I'd already written those words, but how they sound, and I just assumed he would interpret what the cello sound of those. And actually, there are 2 recording components of this. So, you know, the other one is a all-out instrumental lullaby. But the first part is a narration of the whole book, which my son Keith does, and he's a wonderful narrator. You know, I assumed that Yo-Yo would want to come up with those sounds. And in the conversation, he said, "I know you already know what these sound like." And I said, "Well, yeah, I have a way they sound to me." And he said, "I need you to sing them to me." So there I am, you know, singing cello parts to Yo-Yo.
To be a fly on the wall for that one.
Oh, to be. Sorry, it's just very exclusive, content. I'm sorry, I can't share that with you and your audience. So we ended up, you know, just sort of going back and forth from there. Okay, where is that? Which you know, and the cello has a remarkable range, and he also has a remarkable range and playfulness and ingenuity, and we sort of figured them out.
The idea of just the thinking of how enchanting this is for children to understand how I believe it's a red river hog, right? Of how that snores, and even that such an animal exists, just seems lovely.
Oh, thank you. It was, you know, as I say, this is an expanded, so that the red river hogs were actually the first edition from the core, you know, one page from Snoozers. I needed to keep going with what animals and what sounds. And I kind of loved, I didn't know about Red River Hogs. I knew I wanted them to be some sort of hog. And then when I found out, I went, oh, of course, that has to be it. Such a cool sound, Red River Hog. So, yeah, it was really, the whole project was so fun and so distracting from what was going on in the world.
The aforementioned elephant in the book really is the animal that wakes everybody up. No wonder he gets the top billing from Amazon, because that's just the big snore.
The dazzling bird makes a long, quiet coo. And the great big gorilla goes ooh, ooh, ooh. But sometime after midnight, the elephant goes snore. And whoever had been sleeping isn't sleeping anymore.
It's interesting. So full disclosure, it is a very cool cello sound, and we both agreed it needed even more. So it actually has the horn of the ferry boat on the Great Lakes, the James R. Barker, it has that blast as well with the cello. So it's, this is it.
So Yo-Yo Ma's elephant snore had to be sweetened? Am I understanding that correctly?
No, unsweetened, I think.
That's great.
Yeah. So it was,
I just realized as I'm telling this, I'm giving away the end of the book.
Spoiler. Nobody's going to want it now. You completely ruined the whole book.
Then there's the lullaby. So that is ultimately just a separate project, right?
It is. Obviously, if you tell people there's a soundtrack with Yo-Yo Ma, much as what he did as Animal Snores is terrific, they're going to feel a little gypped if he's not actually playing the cello. And he and I both agreed that, so we tried to think of the most soothing piece of music imaginable, and agreed that the Erik Satie's Gymnopédie number one is it. We considered Clair de Lune, and that would be wonderful, but and then you realize it's not quite jungly, though. So the fact that it's normally a piano piece is no problem because people have interpreted it all over the place. And so to have, guitar and cello is quite wonderful. Ron Block plays the guitar part on that. He's the Alison Krauss guitarist, and he's just incredible. So that was in place, but what makes it jungly? And that's when I started playing with percussion ideas of could you do a sort of polyrhythm thing? Could you have a jungly percussion and yet keep the lullaby aspect and the beauty of that intact? And it was an interesting adventure for me to try to do that. And I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. The animation, too, that you have with it, of the beautiful lion that is playing the cello, is just gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. That was so fun to do as well. And that came about because I was thinking, okay, we now have a book and you have an audio component, both of the book reading and of the settee. But as I was listening to what we have, I said, as a child, I want to see it in motion. I want to see how the music is made. You don't want a very complex animation, you don't want a very narrative. You want it to be, like a concert in a way. It's got a visual component, but that it's an experience. It's not a story. I worked with an animator. I did what's called the animatic, so I drew the drawings and timed them to the music and what happens and but the difference between my animatic, which sketches it out and you say, okay, that could probably work, and then handing it to this animator, Ira Baker, that I've worked with quite a number of times, and he just makes it all magic, and he's really meticulous about detail. I knew Yo-Yo needed to be a lion. and Ira knew to look at the session footage we have of Yo-Yo Ma from the actual recording session. Yeah.
And that's available on YouTube. People can see that animation on YouTube. The lion is playing the cello. The crocodile is playing the percussion. And the river hog, only one of them, is playing the guitar. What I loved, and it took me maybe the second or third time watching it to notice this, but they all have their eyes shut.
You're very perceptive, because I think in a way people don't notice that. I think it's part of the mood of it without you being aware of it. I think the animation does what I wanted it to do. I think it's very mesmerizing. I certainly hope so.
It certainly is. And I know I've asked you this question before, but I would like it. I would just like to ask you for the sake of completion in this interview, and that is why music has always been such a part of your work.
My dad was an English teacher and an absolute lover of the sounds of words and just every aspect of words. I think I got that partly genetically and partly from my dad reading to me so much. And so that's musical. In other words, both the rhyme of what I write, but the rhythm of it and the when it's percussive and when it's not percussive and stuff is already musical. Language is musical by its nature. So I think, and also I love music, so
right.
I think for me it was just kind of inevitable. It's not like, why don't I add music? I think it's already musical. And some of the songs that I've written and produced come first before I do a board book version, and sometimes vice versa. I've written a board book and I say, ooh, I would like that to become a recording. So it's all interconnected.
I'm not doing this as a cheap ploy to give you praise, but when I was listening to this, and I listened to it, I watched it, I did several times, and I just can't get over the fact, and the reason I'm asking this, again, is not to suck up to you, but also
If you could overpraise me, that would be great.
I'm certainly willing and able to do that, don't get me wrong, but and maybe this is a word that's overused, but it's perfect. I mean, it just seems perfect.
Wow.
I mean, do you feel that, like, I can't, I mean, I know we all look at our work and say, we see the imperfections, but this just seems lovely and beautiful.
I am so moved by you saying that. I often don't feel that way about something that I've done, understandably. I got it where it could, but now I see this problem. And I don't think there's anything I would change about this. So the strange thing about this project is it's virtually impossible to explain what it is, because it's a book with a free download. Already there are complaints, Amazon, that what a jip, I thought there'd be a CD, and you're going, what? how would you
what
put
is
a,
that? Yeah.
Right. And how would you put a CD in a book anyway? And anyway, so that's been a little odd, but it's confusing as a project because there's also an animation to it. And yet, of course, an animation doesn't come with a board book. So you just go, well, it is what it is, though. I don't know how else. So in a sense, I feel that's the thing I wasn't able to get any clearer than I did, which is because it doesn't quite fit any particular module of experience or retail space.
Which is amusing, considering we should probably have multimedia down by now. But, okay.
Well, one might think. but anyway, I thank you so much. I love your response to it.
It's just so beautiful. Like, hauntingly beautiful. Just very, very nice. By the way, this just in from the folks in Seattle. Now, Jungle Night has just hit number one in children's Red River Hog books. So congratulations on that.
I think that's because of the product placement, of the plug you gave for that. So thank you so much for that. Do you know, by the way, you are, it was to you, the very first person I blurted out loud that I thought I was going to do project with Yo-Yo Ma.
Actually remember that. Yeah. We were at your home, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was actually.
Was it the studio? Was it here?
It was both, but it was actually on air. It's when I was.
Oh, you said it live. We had you. Yeah. We have you on tape saying it.
You have me on tape somewhere saying that. It's now I can't remember what book it was that we were talking about. My boys and I. We're on our way from Vermont to New York for an event.
Oh, that's right. I do remember this.
Yeah. And what was remember what book was it, though. I'm sorry. It was Dinosnores.
Yeah,
Dinosnores. Obviously, I'm stuck on a sort of snoring theme. And I just kind of blurted it out. You said, what's next? And I said, oh, in my, you know, I don't remember my words at all, but I sort of blurted it out without intending to. and it wasn't that it was top secret. It just seemed so impossible, you know, so it just seemed like a completely quixotic idea that that was actually going to happen. So anyway, so thank you for breaking news.
Yeah, yeah. Now we've followed it through. You know, you have elevated the board book to such a level, and I'm curious as to how you think about how board books are thought of, because they're for a very specialized young audience, but
right.
they're also the first introduction to books, to, yes, literature, and that is fascinating to me, and for you, of how you feel of their place in not only the world, but in the development of a child.
I think they're incredibly important, and it's only by happenstance I ended up doing board books. You know, I was already doing books, but I think it's the right medium for me because it's the age group I'm particularly writing for, and to have them be, you know, as sturdy as they are, to have a child be able to turn the page, to have a child be able to actually experience by chewing on it, you know, all these things are
right.
important. So there's a kind of ownership that extremely young children have of the book experience. You know, very young children who would be called pre-verbal. My dad, who was obsessed with language, saying there's no such thing as a pre-verbal child. They're wired for language. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, you know, but even it's not just good for their friendliness towards books, but it's just the bond between a parent and child or whoever is reading it and the child. Just the way you read a board book together, you know, it's usually a child on the lap of someone and the turning the pages together. And it's the whole experience. It's the sound of it. It's the, you know, the pictures I do are pretty simple. And my hope is when I do these that it's a shared delight. It's the reason also that when I started doing children's music, low 20 years ago now, which is hard to believe, or 25 almost, anyway, I disliked the idea that children's music was something that was that parents wanted to leave, including me, wanted to leave the room for. And I very much wanted to make music that parents would want to stay in the room.
Thank you, so. Wiggles.
Yeah, and there's a whole list.
No, I know. We don't want to pick on the Wiggles.
Yeah.
There are many. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and the other thing, too, as I was thinking about this, as you have the animation, you have the soundtrack and all of this beauty, but you also think of a parent or a reader or someone that is reading the book to the child, and they're on the bed or sitting in a chair, and they're making those snoring sounds to the kids, and how much fun that must be for them.
My 2.5-year-old granddaughter, she's highly musical, and she loves this book particularly, which is so dear to my heart. And I actually have a little clip of the animation that I asked the animator to put together with an image of Yo-Yo Ma side by side, just probably 8 seconds long, to show, you know, how he did the animation following Yo-Yo's actual playing. And I showed this to her the other day. She hadn't seen it, and she's in my studio, and she looks at it, and I said, oh, I want to show you something. And she looks at it, and she goes, that's Yo-Yo Ma. And I was just, and apparently, because we went to see him, you know, last summer, he and Emmanuel Axe did these concerts for essential workers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And and we got to go to the first test one. It was outside at High Lawn Farm. So my daughter and my granddaughter and I got to be sitting there on the lawn with our masks on, just listening to that music. And truly since then, and still, so it's almost a year, she will come to her parents now and then, said, I dreamed about Yo-Yo Ma. He was playing a song for me. And I just go, wow, that is...
it's a pretty cool experience. Yeah.
That's a pretty cool experience.
Yeah. Well, you're providing that for many a kid and adults of what they're able to get from this with your beautiful work and that of Yo-Yo Ma. The new project is called Jungle Night. It is by Sandra Boynton with a free downloadable soundtrack with Yo-Yo Ma. You can also just put Jungle Night into YouTube. You can see it, and it's absolutely beautiful. And we'll put a link on our site as well. Sandy, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. I just love your work, and you're such a dear friend, and I thank you so much for sharing with us, as always.
You are my favorite person to talk to, and you already know this. You are my favorite person to talk to, and thank you so much.
Again, the name of the new book is Jungle Night by Sandra Boynton with a downloadable soundtrack by Yo-Yo Ma. It's published by Workman. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.